Amen. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Noemia. We appreciate so much that good song. We're delighted to have with us today Dr. Tom Raper. Tom founded and owned for many years Tom Raper RV in Richmond, Indiana, and was a very successful businessman there. Tom used to have rallies on weekends and have sometimes over 1,000 people come in, and he'd have guest musicians and so forth, and then Tom would sometimes have guest speakers. Sometimes he'd speak himself and share the gospel, tell people about the Lord. And he's been a very successful businessman, but one of the things that impressed me the most about Tom was he's a soul winner. He loves to witness and share the gospel and tell people about Christ. And I remember one time we were visiting with them in Florida with Tom and Suzanne, and we were coming out of the restaurant, and there was a couple sitting there, and as Tom walked by, the man had a necklace on and had a big cross on there. And Tom just kind of pointed at it and said, "Oh, I see you're a religious man." And the man, just like that, he popped back and pointed at the lady and said, "No, I'm not, but she is." And so Tom talked to him for a few minutes, and next thing you know, we're walking out of the restaurant. He's pulled up a chair, and he's sitting there witnessing to the man, and he led the man to Christ right there in the restaurant. He's had the opportunity of winning many people to the Lord a few years ago. He had cancer, had to have a kidney removed, and was in Cleveland Clinic, and had the opportunity of leading several of his nurses to Christ there at Cleveland Clinic. And just everywhere he goes, he talks to people about the Lord. But I have to say this about Tom Raper, and that is, and I say the same thing about myself, is any successful man has a successful woman behind them. And we are delighted to have Suzanne Raper. Suzanne, would you stand, please, so the folks can meet you? This is Tom's wife. Let's give her a big hand. You talk about the better half. This is the better three quarters. But Suzanne is a delightful person, very creative. I wish you could see some of the things that she does. And God has just talented her. In fact, she's an excellent musician, singer. And we're delighted that she could be here as well. I have found that men who travel are always nicer, kinder, sweeter when their wives are with them. But Tom's that way all the time, but especially when Suzanne is with him. We're delighted that he could be here today. I want to ask Tom to come and to speak to us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Everybody that's here this morning, raise your hand. Hey, looks like most of us are here. Hey, we certainly do love your pastor and love his wife and Vicki. And I'll tell you, if I lived in this area, this is the church I belong to. I tell you, this is the right one. And I know there are a lot of visitors here today. And if you're looking for a church, I'd sure like to encourage you to come here. I know these people. I've known them for quite a while now, and they really are very nice people. Now, Vicki also, I really think a little bit more of her because she makes me carrot cake, and it's the best carrot cake I've ever had. You know, so anyhow, just want to tell you that we just love your pastor and his wife so much, and appreciate all the visitors that came here today, and plus all the rest of you. There was a man named Henry that met a girl named Henrietta. Now, Henrietta had a lot of money. In fact, Henrietta was very wealthy. As time went on, Henry married Henrietta. One morning, they're sitting in the kitchen eating breakfast, and Henrietta said, Henry, if it wasn't for all my money, this dinette set wouldn't be here this morning. Henry kind of hung his head and never said a word. They went into the family room to watch some television, and Henrietta said, Henry, if it wasn't for all my money, this television set wouldn't be here this morning. Henry just kind of hung his head and never said a word. They went out to get in their car, and Henrietta said, Henry, if it wasn't for all my money, this car wouldn't be here this morning. Well, now Henry heard about all that he wanted to hear. So he said, Henrietta, be very frank about it. If it wasn't for all your money, I wouldn't be here this morning. So, well, anyhow, yeah, we're certainly happy that you are here today. Now, the pastor introduced my wife, and I'd like to say that Suzanne and I have been married 44 years. And so it's been a little while, you know. I told her she retired 44 years ago, and she said, when I retire, you'll be the first one that knows it. Did you hear about the wife that told her? Husband said, honey, we've been married 12 months today. Her husband said, seems more like a year to me. Well, bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day, and thank you for all these people here today. And Lord, we want to thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. Now, Lord God, I pray that you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit as I'm about to speak to these people here today. Lord, I pray that every word I'll say will be yours. And Lord God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict their heart. And if they're not saved, born again, not sure they go to heaven, Lord, we pray that they'll deal with that today. And Lord God, thank you for loving us. We'd like to tell you once again, we certainly do love you. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we do pray. Amen. I was born in Richmond, Indiana. Richmond, in case you don't know where it's at, it's between Indianapolis and Dayton, Ohio, right on the Indiana-Ohio line. I was raised on a farm right southeast of Richmond. Yes, I'm a country boy. When I was young, I remember we'd have tomato gravy three times a day. We'd have tomato gravy for breakfast, we'd have it for lunch, and we'd have tomato gravy for supper. I really didn't mind eating tomato gravy three times a day because I thought everyone else was eating tomato gravy three times a day. I didn't know things were a little difficult on the farm at that time. I worked for International Harvester Motor Truck Division for 5 years. I became the youngest zone manager in the history of the International Harvester Motor Truck Division for the whole United States. When I told them I was going to quit and start a little used car business in Richmond, Indiana, they said, Tom, don't do that. You'll never make it. You'll go broke. I said, You know something? I'm going to give you a chance to say I told you so. Because I'm going to try it, and I said, I think I can do it. Not one person encouraged me, with the exception of my dad. My father said, if you want to do that, Tom, I think you can. But everybody else, without exception, no one encouraged me at all. My dad, I asked him to help me. You know, I said, Dad, I won't be okay for a while until I can make some money. And my dad, 10th grade education, but I wouldn't take anybody with a PhD in anything over my father. And he was with me for the first 34 years I was in business. And then Dad passed away. And he was 83. And I wasn't upset that he passed away. I thank the Lord for letting him live to be 83. His father died when he was 15. You know, and Dad really, I'll tell you, for all those years I was in business, if I was going to make a major decision, buy property, hire somebody, terminate someone, take on a line, whatever, I'd always talk to Dad about it. You know, and if he was against it, to my knowledge, I never did it, ever. And we did reasonably good. I think our decisions were pretty good. Well, I started in the used car business in Richmond, Indiana, and a little over 48 years ago, and I capitalized with $2,000. You know, and I had five cars. They're just pretty close to being junk, you know, but I couldn't hardly afford much anything else. I gave $400 for a car, and I bought a couple of trucks. That's what I started in business with. A little over 48 years ago in Richmond, Indiana. I paid $40 a month rent for my little lot. It was on the north end of town. You know, I went to the man next door, had his house. I said, if you let me hook a hose on the spigot on the side of your house so I can wash my cars, I'll pay your water bill for you. Well, I didn't have restrooms. I didn't have water. You know, my office was a literal chicken coop. It was built to raise chickens in. And I put a thing around the top to make it a little more like an office. You know, well, after selling used cars for about 4 or 5 years, I became a recreational vehicle dealer and a manufactured home dealer. Now, recreational vehicles, they are motor homes and travel trailers and fifth wheels. Manufactured homes are mobile homes, sectional homes, and modular homes that you set with a crane. As time went on, I spent millions of dollars in advertising. Much of it was on television. We were in spots every day on WGN TV in Chicago. WGN went in all 50 states. My controller told me one 12-month period of time, we sold in every state but two. We didn't sell in Rhode Island. We didn't sell in Hawaii. You know, and people would come in from Germany and France and England and Saudi Arabia and other countries would come in and buy from us. You know, we had a huge inventory. And one time we kind of figured that if someone spent 10 minutes in each unit we had, they'd have to be there 8 hours a day for somewhere around 5 weeks to get through all the units. You know, God really blessed those businesses. I had 275 employees. It'd make a pretty good-sized church, wouldn't it? You know, and every week, they got to be paid. You know, and some of them, they have to, you know, they're in the six figures. If you don't do that, you won't get them or you won't get them to stay. You know, and so, had 275 employees, wonderful people. Set up a profit-sharing plan for them that I put about 10% of whatever they made for the year into the profit-sharing plan. They didn't have to match it or anything. And some of the people that worked in a shop or parts or sales, they're going to be millionaires at age 65, and they never put a penny in. I put it all in. You know, but I wanted them to have money when they retired, because Social Security just probably is not going to carry them. You know, I wanted to have about the style of life they had when they retired. So anyhow, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about something that's sobering. I definitely feel that God has laid this message on my heart for us today, and I appreciate if you listen very carefully about what I got to say. I've asked God that every word I say here today will be His. You know, and so I'm going to ask you a question, please. I'm going to ask you a very important question. My friends, are you prepared to die? In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. First of all, if we want to be prepared to die, we must have trusted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Are we prepared to die? Jesus Christ is a solid rock. Jesus is the only foundation we can build on. My friends, God is a God of preparation. God prepare a place for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Are we prepared to go to that place? When I was young, I belonged to the Boy Scouts. I found out the motto for the Boy Scouts was, be prepared. Pretty good motto. You know, God wants us to be prepared. God spent 40 years preparing Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Noah spent many years preparing the ark. If you will, please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. I'll give you some time to find that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, don't forget, if you're a visitor here, you get a Bible absolutely free. And these Bibles sell for $20 a piece. They're a nice Bible. You know, I guess. Is that all right? Okay, you're welcome. You know, that won't do you a bit of good unless you read it. So be sure to read it, okay? Okay, the Apostle Paul, if you've got 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul, was prepared to die. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, Paul said, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure, my death, is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course or my race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them who also love his appearing. Again, the Apostle Paul was prepared to die. My friends, are we prepared to die? Are we prepared to meet the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? God is a God of preparation. In fact, God prepared a Bible for us. If we study that Bible, we can learn many things, including how to be prepared to die. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, if you'll turn to that, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This is a Bible-believing church, and I'm happy to see you guys got Bibles, you know, and that's great. And if you forgot yours, well, you know, I do that sometimes, too. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Works won't get anybody in heaven. And you know, I remember I used to sit in my office, and I'd think, if I died right now, I wonder if I'd go to heaven. And I thought of some good things I did, and I think I'll make it. Then I thought some real rotten things I did, and I wasn't sure. I didn't know, and I didn't want to die, because I didn't know if I'd go to heaven or not. And I found out that works didn't have a thing to do with it. You know, you can be a good father, a good mother. You can help poor people. You can go to church. And these are good things to do, but they won't get you saved. If you will, please, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. I'll give you some time to find that. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 11, and we'll go through 15, please. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, Jesus is a solid rock. That's the only foundation we can build on. And the Bible says, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." That's after you're born again, after you're saved. "He shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, barely." Now, what does God mean by the gold, silver, and precious stones? And what does God mean by the wood, hay, and stubble? I think the gold, silver, and precious stones, if you try that with fire, it won't hurt it. And I think it's gold, silver, and precious stones, things that we do for the honor and glory of God and for God. You know, fire won't hurt it. Now, if you have wood, hay, and stubble, you try that with fire, what happens? Burns it up. And that's bad works. I think that's things we do for the honor and glory of ourselves. You know, and you will not receive a reward. During this period of time, wealth was determined by how much linen you'd have, how much grain, gold, silver, precious stones, animals, and land. That was the determination of wealth when this part of the scripture was written. You know, do not lay our treasure up in heaven. You know, I missed a page. I'm just going to let you know that, okay? You know, and my wife knows I'm not perfect, so she's not surprised. You know, but if our works wood, hay, and stubble, and they're burned, and we'll lose our reward. Now, if you will, please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Okay, if you will, please, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Lay not up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I would read that scripture, and I thought, what do the moths have to do with this? You know, what do the rust have to do with it? What's he talking about the thieves going to break through and steal? I'll tell you what I think. Now, I'm a businessman, and I'm not a Bible scholar, you know, but this is what I think. During that period of time, as I mentioned earlier, your wealth was determined by how much linen you'd have, how much grain, gold, silver, precious stones, animals, and land that you'd have. That was the determination of wealth. Now, you could have a lot of linen, and if moths got in it, it's worth nothing. You know, laying up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, I told you I was raised on a farm. I noticed on the farm when grain would rot, rust would form on it. And if you have a lot of grain, rust forms on it and rots, it's worth nothing. And thieves, they can break through. They can steal your gold, silver, precious stones, steal your animals, steal your ground. You know, nothing materialistically is secure here on earth. That's why we need to lay treasure up in heaven. My friends, now listen closely to this. My friends, if we want to lay treasure up in heaven, we must do it before we die. My friends, are we prepared to die? Why do we avoid preparing? Sometimes it's time-consuming to prepare. Sometimes we're so busy mopping up the water that we do not take time to turn off the faucet. Have you witnessed to that lost person that could be your mother or father, could be your husband or wife, son or daughter or friend, knowing that if you don't tell them about Jesus Christ, they might not hear it from anyone else ever? Remember, listen to this now. Remember, friends don't let friends go to hell. Friends don't let friends go to hell. If you will, please take your Bibles and turn to Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19, please. And Jesus Christ, we're going to read down through here a ways. And Jesus Christ spoke all these words. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see it written in red letters. Luke 16:19. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." Now back then, if you had purple clothes, that's a sign you're wealthy, because purple was very, very expensive. And this man, you know, was very wealthy, and he had purple clothes. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. This man laying out there in sores and, you know, was a beggar and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, you said, "I don't believe in hell." Jesus does. Jesus talked about it right here. Jesus said, "And in hell, he lift up his eyes." That's the rich man, being in torments, "and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he," the rich man, "cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." When someone goes to hell, there's no way out. You know, and they're there forever. And if that's your father, mother, husband, wife, son, daughter, good friend, then man, friends don't let friends go to hell. Verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So that's what I'm saying. You know, once you're in hell, that's it. You're not going to get out. And once you're in heaven, that's it too. You know, and you're going to be there for eternity. Then he said, then the rich man said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Now the rich man knows he's got five brothers back there, and he doesn't want them to come to hell. And so he wants Abraham to send Lazarus back to tell them about it. Abraham, listen to this now. Abraham saith unto them, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And some people say, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Moses and the prophets didn't live together at the same time. You know, and Abraham, well, let's read just what it says. "Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Now, Moses and the prophets didn't live together at the same time. How's he going to hear them? In the Old Testament. Moses wrote the first five books. The prophets wrote much of the rest of the Old Testament. So what he's saying is, let them read the Bible. You know, and then they'll know what they need to do. And he said, the rich man said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them went in from the dead, they will repent." And he, Abraham, saith unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they don't believe in the Bible, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Again, please remember, friends, don't let friends go to hell. My friends, are we prepared to die? We all know that Jesus was prepared to die. The last thing Jesus said was, "It is finished." Yes, Jesus was prepared to die. It is my most fervent and earnest prayer that at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will be able to say to each and every one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I met a man named Jeff Miller. He was director of sales for the whole world for Motorola's wireless data group. He told me that he had to fly thousands of miles every year. And Jeff shared with me the fact that he took United Airlines Flight 232, is a DC-10, that had 297 people on board. He said that while they're flying, the rear engine exploded, disabling its primary and backup hydraulic systems. You know, and the only way the pilot could do that plane was with the thrust of the engines. Couldn't, nothing else. You know, and they had made a crash landing in Sioux City, Iowa, and 113 people lost their lives. Jeff said, and listen to this, please. Jeff said that when they tell you to bend over and brace yourself for a crash landing, and you know you're probably going to die, your values in life change. All of a sudden, money is not that important. All of a sudden, a fine home is not that important. A nice car is not that important. At that point, your values in life have changed. All of a sudden, you're beginning to wonder, am I prepared to die? The plane broke in different pieces, and Jeff's part of the plane skidded upside down way down the runway. And he got out, and he didn't have a scratch. But, however, 113 people lost their lives. If you were on a plane and they would tell you to brace yourself for a crash landing, are you prepared to die? Perhaps your crash landing could be in an automobile accident or some other fatal accident. Or perhaps your crash landing could be a fatal heart attack. Are you prepared to die? Some people said to me, Tom, how do you know for sure that Jesus rose from the dead? You weren't there. I asked them, I said, who was the first president of the United States? Oh, that's George Washington. I said, how do you know George Washington was the first president of the United States? You weren't there. The way you know that, it's a well-documented fact in history. That is how we know about Jesus. It is also a well-documented fact in history that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus was seen by more than 500 people after his resurrection. When we say, and listen to this, when we say that we are in the year of 2012, we're saying it's been 2012 years since the death of Christ. At the calendars, you know, every day it talks about, it goes back to the death of Christ. Yes, it is a well-documented fact in history. You might say, Tom, it's not nice to scare men, women, and children about hell. Don't you know if you talk about hell, Tom, you might scare the men, women, and children. You shouldn't do that. Let me ask you a question, please. Let's say that you're standing next to a deep, wide canyon. And there's a railroad bridge going over that deep, wide canyon. And as you're standing there, you look and the railroad bridge starts to shake a little bit. And all of a sudden, that railroad bridge falls down into that deep, wide canyon. And you happen to know, up the way, there's a train headed for that straight for that deep, wide canyon. 500 people on that train. Would you say, oh, I don't want to warn the people. I might scare some of the men. I might scare some of the children, some of the women. I don't think that's what you'd do. If you knew they were heading for certain death, I think you'd run up there as fast as you could and get as far up as you could, and you'd wave and say, stop, stop, bridge out ahead. You're headed for certain death. Stop, stop, stop. Bridge out ahead. You're headed for certain death. My friends, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, your bridge is out. And you're headed for certain death. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could say for Tom Raper's sin and come short of the glory of God. And you know, we could put each one of your names in there. Because the Bible says for all have sinned. A little white lie. Everybody's a sinner. What's going to happen to sinners? Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, what's a wage? That's something we get paid, isn't it? So we're all sinners. The wages or the payoff of sin is death. But the Bible goes a little bit further and say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if I'd offer you a gift, there's two things you could do. One, you could accept it. Or two, you could reject it. And so God says, here's my gift of Jesus Christ. Now, if you accept that gift, you'll go to heaven. If you reject that gift, I'll have to judge you and you will go to hell. I want you to go to heaven, but I'm not going to make you do it. That's your own personal choice. Your mother can't make it for it. Your dad can't make it for it. Next up, you got it. That's your own personal choice. And God lets you make that personal choice. May we bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. And as the instrumentalist comes forward, and we'd like for her to play. Is she here? Okay. And if she could play Just As I Am, I'd appreciate that. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. If you died this very second, are you actually certain you go to heaven? If you are absolutely certain you go to heaven, if you die this very second, would you raise your hand, please? Okay, thank you. You may put your hands down now. Heads bowed, eye closed. If you die this very second, and you're not sure you go to heaven, would you raise your hand, please? Okay, thank you. You may put your hands down now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to go to heaven when you die, the ones you just raised your hands, you don't know if you go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven when you die, please pray this prayer after me. You may pray it silently if you want to. Pray it only if you mean it with all of your heart. Heavenly Father, and then you can say silently, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent of my sins. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, please come into my heart now and save me, for I want a home in heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer, raise your hand, please. Now, I want you to look at me. The ones you prayed the prayer, look at me, please, right now. Jesus said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny for before my Father which is in heaven. What that means is if you just prayed that prayer, you need to come forward right now. Just come forward. You prayed the prayer. Come on. You need to do that. Jesus said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess you for my Father which is in heaven. You need to come forward. There are many of you that raised your hand. I ask you not to pray that prayer unless you meant it. You know, and so I'm asking you to come forward now and acknowledge that we're not going to ask you to talk to anybody. We just want you to come forward. By doing that, you're acknowledging that you accept that. You know, and Jesus said that you need to come forward. That's what he said. Perhaps you should have prayed the prayer, but you didn't. Yeah, you come forward and we'll pray the prayer with you. Now, please, if you prayed the prayer, come forward. You don't know if you'll live through the day. I don't know if I will either. But I know one thing. We're going to die one of these days unless a rapture occurs. Anybody else? Anybody else that needs to come forward right now? You'll just stand here just for a few minutes, please. We'll give some other people time to come. Now, listen to me again. I'm going to ask you again. If you need to pray that prayer, if you died this very second and you're not sure you go to heaven and you want to go to heaven, come forward now. Come forward now before it's too late. I led a man to Christ one time, or gave him the scripture. And on one day and the next day, I picked up the paper and his name was on the obituary page. I led another man to Christ on a Thursday night. Sunday morning, I picked up the paper and his name was on the obituary page. They didn't think they were going to die that soon. I led another man to Christ, and in 30 days, he died. And his wife then died later than he had pressed. And so if you've not trusted Christ as your personal Savior, or if you're not sure you have, please come forward now. Holy Spirit, work on the hearts of people here today. I think there's more people that need to come forward. Lord, please lay on our heart to do that. Again, we're not going to ask you to say anything up here. We just want you to acknowledge Christ before people. That's what Jesus wants you to do. He said that if you don't acknowledge him, he's not going to acknowledge you. Well, good. That's good. Heavenly Father, thank you. You know, anybody else that needs to come forward, we need to fill this over here too. Is anybody over here that needs to trust Christ? I'd say there's some, you know. Well, I'm going to ask the pianist to play one more verse. Unless the Holy Spirit works differently, this will be the last verse we'll sing, or she'll play. So if you want to be saved, you better come forward now. We'll play 10 more verses if the Holy Spirit's working that way. But if you're not going to come forward now, then we're going to, this next verse will be the last one. So please, 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 if you need to go to heaven, you want to go to heaven, you need to go there, you want to go and you're not sure you go there, step forward now. Just come out. Just come forward. Just get up and come out. If you've never trusted Christ, come right now. Please. You know, I tell you, you die and you haven't trusted Christ, it's too late. It's too late. You'll be in hell forever. Well, I want to thank you very, very much for letting me bring this message to you this morning. And again, I'd like to tell you that if I lived in this area, this is the church I'd belong to. This is a good church. Man, I know the pastor of this church. I know his wife. And they are really, really, really good people in their hearts. Thanks again.
I want you to take your hymn books and turn to number 167. Number 167. You folks who are standing here at the front, there's some folks here down front that are going to come and just jot down your name and address. We would like to get some information to you that will help you to grow in your Christian life. And so if you will let them get that information from you. And the rest of you, would you stand please as we sing number 167? And let me ask any of the others of our workers to come and help us, if you would, to get that information before you go back to your seat. Make sure we get that from you, and we want to get some information to you. Guys, we need to work quickly, okay? Quickly. Quickly. Let me see who else we have that can help us up here. Number 167, once they get the information from you, you may go back to your seat. And we're going to sing a verse or two of 167, just as I am, while we sing that. There may be somebody else here today that you're not sure you're saved, you're sure you're going to heaven. We want to encourage you to slip out of your place and come and let us help you with that and make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. All right, while we sing a verse or two, number 167, sing it with me. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Sing that verse. There are some folks that are going to follow the Lord in baptism today. If you're planning on being baptized, let me ask you to come. The ladies will go this side over here, the men on this side over here. And if you'll come quickly as we sing the next verse, come and take your place and we'll make ready for the baptism. Sing verse number 3. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. And the last verse, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, freely, because of thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let me ask our ushers to come, if you would, gentlemen, and help us with the offering time this morning. Each Sunday, obviously, we have a time when we receive our tithes and our offerings. We have the opportunity to give to the Lord through this local church and through the ministry here. And we thank you for your faithfulness in giving week after week to help not only take care of this ministry, but to send missionaries and help get the gospel around the world. And it's a great privilege to give to the Lord. And we want to invite you to join us as we worship the Lord in giving. Our money represents our time. It takes time to work for it, to earn it. And in a sense, we get to give the Lord a part of our life as we give today. And I want to invite you to join us as we give. And after we pray, the men are going to receive the offering. And then as soon as we're finished, we have a few folks that are going to be baptized. And then we will finish up for this morning. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Brother Dick Walker, would you come and lead us in prayer? Ask the Lord's blessings on the offering this morning.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for your promised presence here today. Thank you for the message that we heard. Thank you for Brother Raper and his love for souls. My, we've been given much already today, and now it's the time for us to give back a portion to you. And as Brother Raper explained, we can't take anything with us. We leave everything behind. And it's only what we do for you, Lord, will go to heaven and be carried forward for our rewards. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on our offering. Would you use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Bibles like we put together here might be sent to missionaries, that messages like Brother Raper preached might be sent literally across the world. Would you take now the gift, bless the giver, and use it for the furtherance of Jesus Christ, the message, the only way, the truth, and the life, and help us be ever mindful that perhaps today Christ would come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
rewards tonight for the ones who brought the most visitors and the ones who signed up the most visitors. We'll do that this evening after we have a chance to go through the cards. Mike, get those little cards, turn those into when you signed up people. Make sure your name's on those and turn those
Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come into your house and to worship freely in a country that we can do so. And Lord, I just thank you for our friends that have come today and the decisions that they made. Lord, it's just such a joy to get to see people come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I just ask that you help them to understand the decisions that they made today and the importance of knowing that they can go to heaven when they die. Lord, just thank you for Brother Ray for coming today and speaking to us. I just ask that you'll bless him and encourage him. In your name we pray. Amen.